to ask in prayer, unanswered prayer. Hello, I'm Malcolm. This is Quiet Time Coaching, episode 251. And we're focusing again today on another section of the book, How to Pray, by Pete Gregg, that I've been reading as part of the Renovare Book Club. And if you'd like to find out more about that, there are some links in the show notes. So we've been focused on this book for a few weeks now. In fact, I think this is the seventh episode of Quiet Time Coaching, looking at different topics taken up by Pete Gregg in his most excellent book. And I can thoroughly recommend the book. You don't have to read it to get something out of these podcasts, but I would recommend it for young Christian and old. It's a good primer. It's a good basic book in some ways for a younger Christian. But if someone like myself has been praying a long time, I have found many things in it that have either been a good reminder and a helpful refresher or have helped give me a different slant on things, because we all think a little bit differently about prayer. Well, today we are going to tackle one of the toughest issues to do with prayer, which is unanswered prayer. How to deal with disappointment in prayer. And our theme phrase is from Matthew 6, verse 10. Your will be done. Your will be done. Now, last week we had to look at intercession, asking our Heavenly Father for what other people need. But this week, a deep topic of unanswered prayer. Now, I expect you have your unanswered prayer list. I hope you don't really have one, literally, perhaps. But you probably have, or if you spent some time sat down with a pen and a piece of paper, you could write out a good list of unanswered prayers. It's not the kind of list we would look at very often. We don't get it out to show other people. How do you feel about unanswered prayer? How do you feel when you're disappointed? When God doesn't do what we ask? How do we respond? How do we respond faithfully when prayers, even sincere prayers, have been faithfully offered and yet there has been no response, or not the response we were hoping for? As Pete says in his book, the Bible is way more honest about unanswered prayer than the church. I mean, when is the last time you heard a sermon about unanswered prayer? In fact, I've got to ask myself, as I'm recording this, when's the last time I preached on it, or at least taught on unanswered prayer? And yet the Bible does address it. And in particular, with the example of Jesus, which is going to form the frame for us, Jesus in Gethsemane. We're in good biblical company. And indeed, we are in company with Jesus. His prayer was for the cup to be taken away. And was it answered? Certainly not. Most emphatically not answered. Pete says, it's an extraordinary thought that Jesus himself sits at the right hand of God the Father today, carrying the pain of unanswered prayer. Wherever you stand, or however you feel about your unanswered prayers, bear this in mind. Jesus stands with you. So with these thoughts in mind, let's turn to some suggestions from Pete in the book to help us process our unanswered prayers. And we've got six things to think about from the example of Jesus in Gethsemane. First point, choose to be vulnerable with your friends. Choose to be vulnerable with your friends. Mark 14, 33, 34, he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Stay here and keep watch. Tough times of prayer and tough prayer topics are made more bearable when accompanied by friends. It's really important that we don't isolate ourselves when we're going through difficult times of prayer, when we're wrestling and finding ourselves disappointed. If Jesus needed his friends around him, so do you and I. So if you're feeling at the moment like you can't work out why God would not be answering your prayers, how about talking about it with your friends and even praying through those issues together with some of your friends? Secondly, choose to push into prayer. Make that decision to carry on praying. In Luke 22, 44, it says, being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. He was in anguish because his prayer wasn't being answered. He wasn't being rescued. He prayed more earnestly. Now, we certainly need our friends, but we need our Heavenly Father even more. And Jesus knew he needed God. He went to God in prayer. He didn't step away from prayer. He went into prayer even more, with more desperation, you might say, with earnestness. He went to his knees and prayed with, wow, passion. I well remember the day I got the phone call to say that one of our members, one of our church members, Colin, had died in a tragic work accident. His wife rang me to tell me the news. And as I was holding the phone, I remember standing in our dining room. And as she said the words to me that he died, I fell to the floor. I fell to my knees. There was nothing else to do. I was disappointment doesn't even cover it. I was shocked. I was appalled. I was like, why God? He was a young man. Even thinking about it now, makes me feel rather emotional. All I could do was fall to my knees. It was the only appropriate thing to do. Choose to push into prayer. Thirdly, Abba Father, Jesus says. He says, Abba, Dada, Daddy. We've got to hold on to God's love even while we're going through the disappointment. Much like a small child. Much like a small child, we may not understand what's going on, but we know we can trust a loving parent. And even though we don't understand why God is doing what he's doing or not doing what we thought he would do, we do know he loves us. So we can hold on to that, even in the midst of our confusion. Pete says, it's important to remember that we are perfectly able to trust that which we cannot understand. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Hold on to what you know of his love, even if you can't understand what he's doing. Fourthly, Jesus says, everything is possible for you. We need to hold out for God's power. He has the power. Sometimes our pain obscures our understanding of God's power, our ability to see that God is still a God of power. Yet no matter our confusion or our disappointment, it makes no difference to the potentiality of the power of God in any particular circumstance. He's still got the same power he had before we were confused, before we were disappointed. As Pete says, no matter how hard it is to keep trusting when our deepest, most desperate prayers go unanswered, getting rid of God's love and God's power doesn't actually help. In fact, it makes things much worse. God's power is still available just as much as his love is available, even in the midst of our disappointment and confusion. And what was the result? And what was the result of Jesus praying this? He somehow found the strength to go through with God's will, even though it was different from his own. Because the fifth point, the fifth phrase or part of a phrase we have here with Jesus is, take this cup from me. He says, take this cup from me. In other words, he's honest. How honest are you in prayer, especially when you're disappointed and struggling? Have you prayed a prayer like Jesus? I mean, if Jesus can pray this honest prayer, wanting something that is not actually what God sent him to do and be, if he can pray such an honest, naked prayer, then can't we? Jesus isn't putting on a brave face. He's not faking it. Okay, God, I'm going to go through with this. It's okay. I know you'll be with me. He's not putting on a brave face. He's being honest. Take it away, God. Please take it away. I've prayed prayers like that. God, take this trial away. Take this suffering away. Take away the suffering of others. Why, God, why? I don't understand. I'm lost. I'm hurting. Take this cup from me. Pete says, Jesus prays five of the most surprising words in the entire Bible. He asks God for an alternative to the cross. This is Jesus at his most vulnerable. And he appears to be praying unbiblically. Sixthly, finally, the phrase, yet not what I will, but your will be done. What is this prayer? It's the prayer of relinquishment. Relinquishment. We don't always know what God's will is, and we're not going to get what we want just because we ask. He has his will, and it's wise of us to want his will to be done, even if we don't want it to be done, in a sense. Pete says, the Creator is not a cosmic slot machine waiting to oblige our prayers with a can of Coke or peace in the Middle East. See, Jesus prays and arrives at a place of relinquishment towards this prayer, towards the end of this prayer in the garden. He gets there. As Pete says, he may not want God's will, but he chooses it. Nonetheless, and this is the triumph of a faithful will over a confused set of feelings. God's will may be difficult, but it is glorious, perfect, pure, and it is going to achieve what God has planned for it to achieve. And if we can simply but get to the point where we pray for God's will to be done, even if we don't feel like it, we're going to be in a better place. Well, those are our 6 points. I wonder which one stood out to you the most. Being vulnerable with your friends when you're going through a tough time of prayer. Choosing to push into prayer rather than leave it and walk away. Holding on to God's love even through the confusion. Holding out for God's power to be displayed in the situation, even if it doesn't, the power isn't used exactly as you would like. Being honest with God. And then finally, finding ourselves able, by God's strength, to relinquish our will for the sake of God's will to be done. Pete ends the book with this wonderful quote from John Newton, the former slave trader. He says this: some Christians are called to endure a disproportionate amount of suffering. Such Christians are a spectacle of grace to the church, like flaming bushes unconsumed, and cause us to ask, like Moses, why is this bush not burned up? The strength and stability of these believers can be explained only by the miracle of God's sustaining grace. The God who sustains Christians in unceasing pain is the same God with the same grace who sustains me in my smaller sufferings. We marvel at God's persevering grace and grow in our confidence in him as he governs our lives. So what stands out to you about disappointment in prayer and about the way that Jesus dealt with it himself? How might your prayer life grow if you could learn how to respond to unanswered prayers and disappointment in prayer with faith, with trust in the love and power of God? One thing you might like to do is pick one of these 6 characteristics of prayer that we see in Jesus from the garden. Perhaps pick one of them and make it a bit of a focus for your prayers over the next 7 days. In the show notes, I put some resources mentioned by Pete Gregg in his book. A couple of books and a couple of online PDFs that you might like to check out. Next week, we're going to go on to look at contemplative prayer. It should be interesting. Well, I hope you found this useful. If you have any comments, please leave them wherever you hear or see this recording, on the website or wherever. You can leave me a voicemail as well on the website. You can drop me an email, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. If you've got any questions about times of quiet with God, any questions about the Bible, drop them to me on that email. At my website, if you'd like a free copy of my ebook on spiritual disciplines called How God Grows His People, then sign up at the website, which is malcolmcox.org. And if you know somebody might benefit from this recording, please just pass the link on to them and leave a review if you wouldn't mind. Until the next time, take care and God bless.